everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Anchor Up and Chill podcast with me, your host, Mario Gell. Welcome back, everyone. I know it's been a very long time. You're probably asking yourself, why is he doing an episode on Magdalena Bay instead of his trip to Alaska? Well, I did an episode about my trip to Alaska and guiding in Alaska and such, but I was so high that the way I sound in the recording has been super hard to publish. I'll probably publish it this month, but I haven't been drinking that much lately. I've been smoking some more of the cannabis for medicinal purposes, and it's hard to actually record a podcast when I'm not drinking beer. So anyways, this is the Magdalena Bay episode. I'm super excited to share my trip with you down there, and just appreciate you again for coming back and listening to the Anchor Up and Chill podcast. Like I said, I know it's been a while. I'll never be consistent with these, but I do love recording podcasts for you to listen to while you're driving down the highway to a fishing hole or to a taco spot, or maybe you're pooping in a toilet right now and you just need something to listen to while you clean your house because your wife yelled at you because you don't clean enough. Or maybe this is a lady that's listening to the podcast who's tired of her husband being an idiot and just needed to listen to something to stay calm because, you know, life's tough. So hoping to make this a good episode for you guys and to educate you about my experience of Mag Bay and what Magdalena Bay is. It's a very, very special place. Just to get it out of the way, I do really hope that I can host yearly trips down there through Taco Fly Fishing Company and Mag Bay Lodge. That's definitely a goal of mine, is to share that place with some people and help educate you on that trip, what to expect, and increase your chances of hooking up a striped marlin on the fly. So Magdalena Bay, what is it? A lot of people, when you tell them, I'm going to Mag Bay, they go, what the hell is that? Magdalena Bay is a bay that's on the Pacific side of Baja California. It's actually, what I've read, is the second largest bay on the Pacific Ocean. So it's huge. And in Magdalena Bay is a small town of Puerto San Carlos, or San Carlos, Mexico. San Carlos population is about 5,500 people. It's a fishing community. It's a beautiful place. I do love the people there. It's a total fishing town. When you're driving through San Carlos, all you see is pongas everywhere. And, you're basically on almost like a spit inside the bay. And you see a lot of fishermen walking around. That's what a lot of people do there. They do clamming, they do, shrimping, commercial fishing, grouper fishing, deep sea fishing, whale watching tours, sport fishing. It's a total fishing community, and the people are just great. It's about 2.5 hours outside of Laredo. So when you go to Mag Bay, you actually fly into Laredo and hopefully get picked up by somebody from one of the lodges that you'd be staying at out there. And they drive you to San Carlos, is where you actually stay, and then leave San Carlos out into the bay and past the bay to go do the fishing of your choice. Now, Magdalena Bay, my experience, this is my third trip down there. My first time down there, we were catching a lot of mahi-mahi. I had a few shots at striped marlin, not too much. I think that was 2020 or, yeah, I think 2019 actually is when I did my first trip down there. And then the second time I went, there was just nothing going outside of the bay. So we were stuck fishing for roosters. Oh, bummer. That was actually super fun. I love rooster fishing. That's just a rad fish, using teasers and such. And these trips do occur anywhere from October to December. That's when the big bait balls show up outside of the bay. And that's when the marlin and the mahi show up. Now, every year is different. I have heard of other years where it's like 20 miles outside of the bay or 20 minutes outside of the bay, and you're surrounded by marlin. There's no mahi-mahi. And there are videos online that you can look up about Magdalena Bay that do actually show what the potential of that place can be. This year, we showed up on Thanksgiving Day. So thanks to my fiance for giving me an opportunity to go out there without any issues, sort of, and enjoy Magdalena Bay for the holiday season. So in that time of the year, there are bait balls available. Now, again, every year it varies, which is kind of cool. Obviously, that's just how the environment is it's not completely 100% consistent, but you can bet your bottom dollar that probably in December, late November, that's going to be your best chance at finding the big bait balls that are outside of Magdalena Bay, and throw some flies at those bait balls. Now, Magdalena Bay is also known for its gray whale watching. So you can go there whale watching, and there are actually some captains who have relationships with the whales where they, you can actually pet them. The gray whales take their young into the bay to have them grow in the warm waters and be protected, because it is protected. It's a giant bay, and there's two islands outside of it that do protect that area, which allow those whales to come into the bay and chill out. What's cool about the bay too is when you're cruising out from San Carlos, you're actually going to be seeing fishermen any time of the day. You'll see the people clamming or shrimping and such in the bay. It produces a lot of food, a lot of fishing for the community there. It's very, very rich in biodiversity and just an amazing place to go, even if you just want to go sightsee. Obviously, this is a fly fishing podcast, so you're interested in the fishing aspect, but we've been down there where there was like the National Geographic yacht in the bay, because there's just great snorkeling, great wildlife viewing and such. And I'm not going to touch on all of what you can see out there, but you get the idea. It's Baja California, the Pacific side down there. So very rich in biodiversity. And there's also mangrove fishing down there. The first year that I did go to Mag Bay, I was with Trem Dog. He came on that trip. Well, he was there already, and he joined with, it was Adam, my buddy Adam, myself, Tremor, and I think that was it. And this was through Salt Junkies, RIP. Salt Junkies, I know you're not around anymore. I hope you are, but Salt Junkies is a homie, Joseph, who was running that and got us a trip down there. So we made a video called Puro Pangas. I'll put that link in the show notes. So if you never watched Puro Pangas, that's the video that we made for that trip. And Tremor caught a giant golden trevally in Baja California in the mangroves. Like, how sick is that? It was such a big ass fish. It was torquing on his 12 weight. But so mangrove fishing, open water ocean fishing, rooster fishing off the shore. It has a lot of opportunity for you, and it's really not that expensive to get down there. I should have pricing for my hosted trip available soon. So let's go ahead and fill you in on the trip. It was amazing. I love Magdalena Bay. I say amazing a lot because, you know what, there are things in life that are truly amazing. Magdalena Bay is one of them. This trip was more or less a homie trip. I got to thank Tremor for the invite. The homie hit me up, asked me if I wanted to join him. And, you know, I turned this trip into more or less like a trip where I can enjoy myself and also do some recon about hosting a trip. And what was rad is that Tremor knows how much I work as a guide and how hard I put time into getting people on fish. And he was just like, dog, you can go down there and enjoy yourself. You don't have to tie knots for anybody or worry about anything. So I truly appreciate that opportunity, Trem Dog. Mad love, dude. Just will always hold this trip close to my heart, because this trip was actually really, really cool, because I approached this in a different way. I actually didn't drink that much. Every time I've been to Mag Bay, I've woke up with hangovers, and that was either due to too many special beers and smoking cigarettes, or drinking too much tequila at Mari Arena, the restaurant that they have there, and just drinking out on the ocean. I didn't do that this trip. I wanted to have a clear mind and enjoy myself and not be fighting a hangover every day. And also, I quit smoking in August, so that helped as well. And yeah, it was just nice to go in a different perspective here on this trip, because I don't know. I guess Alaska kind of beat my ass when it came to drinking and my liver and my brain and such, and not having clarity was kind of becoming a problem. So this year was different. I made sure that I approached the trip not as just a party trip. I wanted to enjoy the fishing. I wanted to be on point. I wanted to make sure that if I had an opportunity at a marlin, that I actually had, a clear head. So it was awesome. It was amazing. And Tremor's in a great journey too, just making his life better by trying to avoid that. And we just talked about it a lot during this trip, and the appreciation of sobriety. And not, you know, we had a beer or two after our trip, or brought one beer with us on the boat, but we weren't about drinking all day, which is nice. And I share that because it is part of my journey, you know, of creating taco fly fishing. It's definitely something that's related to having a good time with your friends. And it will always be about that, but it doesn't have to always 100% be with special beers, even though they are great and wonderful and make my mouth water right now. So that's sort of what the trip was. Now, Magdalena Bay is very, very special because it is protected. I'm trying to find some information online, but basically there's no commercial fishing outside of that area. So it brings a lot of, there's a lot of bait to be had. Now, on one of the islands, there is a naval base, a Mexican naval base. I think it's more or less positioning of where they decided to put that naval base, where they can protect those waters and also make sure that that place stays rich with biodiversity and protected. The gray whales obviously are protected down there, the humpback whales. And so, yeah, it's a very, very, very beautiful place. So again, like I said, you fly into Laredo and you drive 2 hours, 2.5 hours from there to get to Magdalena Bay. So it's not an easy place to get to. Now that ride, that's the ride that we're usually drinking beers and, you know, to get time to pass. And, this year was actually pretty fun. We got to meet Jed and, oh man, Jed and Steve on the way there. They are really great guys. It's a very beautiful drive. You do drive through like a cactus forest. So if you've never been to that part of Baja California, there's these giant, beautiful mountains that are accompanied with soft clouds and, you know, just beautiful green landscape and giant, giant cactus everywhere. And then once you get out of the mountains, you're on that flat land that takes you out to Constitucion and through that area and towards San Carlos. But that drive is very special. Obviously, Mexicanos are really, really gnarly drivers. So you drive through that those mountains, which is a gnarly, gnarly road, pretty fast. So I set that disclaimer out just because it is something that you need to prepare yourself for. But it is a nice, beautiful drive. So if you do it, bring your camera and don't be afraid to ask your driver to pull over so you can get a wonderful picture of the landscape because it's very, very pretty. It almost looks like Jurassic Park-ish. Just gorgeous down there. And you get to see the Silla Cortez as well from that side, from the top of some of the mountains. So you can see some of the islands that are out there in the Silla Cortez on the East Cape or the East, side of, Baja. So the fly fishing. So what did I bring? I brought a 10 weight and I brought a 12 weight. The 10 weight, was a Reddington Predator. The 12 weight was a Reddington Predator. You could use the 10 weights for roosters and mahi. I don't advise it on the mahi. It does work. I definitely advise the 12 weight, but you can use the 10 weight, on the mahi if you'd like. And I bought the 10 weight for the roosters. And if we went mangrove fishing and such, and then I brought the 12 weight for the marlin and the mahi. So what patterns were we throwing? We were throwing like EP patterns, streamer patterns. We also had poppers. Tremor was gracious enough to bring a big old giant pile of flies for us this trip. I brought some, but not the ones that you need for the marlin. I don't know exactly where Tremor got those flies. Maybe if you are interested in what to bring, you can hit us up on the Taco Fly Co. Instagram, and I could send you some links that Tremor could provide to me, or you could hit up Tremor on Instagram. California Dad is his name on the gram, and ask him which flies we use because the flies, they worked great. Basically EP patterns again, and then also poppers. So we were throwing poppers for the mahi, and you can also get a marlin on a popper too. But this trip I did not have the luxury of throwing a popper at a marlin, although I probably should have. But I did throw a lot of EP patterns, and we used the 500 grain Leviathan on our setups. Well, I did on the 12 weight, and then I had floating line on the 10 weight. The 500 grain Leviathan is a sink tip line. It's really awesome. And we basically tied that straight to 80 pound fluorocarbon, and those leaders were about 7 feet long. That's just a perfection loop on the loop to loop side, and then also a perfection loop tied to the fly. Now, I talked to a couple guys, and there are some people that do set up their loop-to-loop connection a little bit different. This Leviathan held up for me for I don't even know how many mahi-mahi and how many marlin. And also, Tremor has been down there a few times and hooked into plenty of marlin where he's never had an issue with the loop-to-loop on the Leviathan. So, you know, take it or leave it. There are techniques that you can utilize so that you can make your loop-to-loop connection very, very, very strong by basically making a loop with more line. There are techniques online that you can share, but or that you can utilize, but the Leviathan never had an issue when it was connected to the 80-pound fluorocarbon. And I mean, that's where we're holding that reel tight, where that marlin cannot dive down deep. And, you know, that's a 100-pound fish trying to go away from you. And we never had an issue with anything snapping on this trip. Also, what you want to do is use good backing. So we were using 65-pound gel spun Rio backing, and that was tied to the main fly line with a double Bimini knot, which actually Tremor hooked me up with, and we used some super glue to secure those double Bimini knots. So hopefully this information is informative for you if you do go down there. I got to admit, there is not... They don't provide you with rods through Mag Bay Lodge. They want you to bring your own stuff. You're kind of responsible for your own deal. So you need to kind of know what to do when you go down there. And luckily, Tremor and I have been down there a few times, and Tremor has been on a lot of big fishing trips with big fish. So he's been able to, he was able to help me out with the double Bimini and also just making sure that we had the right stuff. So that's just something to think about when you are going to try to plan a trip down to Mag Bay. Make sure you have your gear ready to go do some investigating, and also bring extra rods. I only brought one 12 weight. I didn't break a rod, but Tremor broke two while we were on the trip. And it does happen. I'm actually surprised I didn't break my rod on this trip, because the way that, if you go to my Instagram that I'm going to use to announce this podcast, when I'm strip setting into that marlin, I'm holding onto that rod almost above the cork handle. It looks real scary, but this is after hooking mahi all week. We did 4 days and it never had an issue, but definitely bring spare rods for sure, no question, and spare reels and spare handles. Bring tools. You got to prepare yourself for the worst to happen when you're on the water. Bring spare line, bring a spare backing, bring a spare reel with it lined up with Leviathan. Because last thing you want to do is be 2 hours out, be into marlin, break a piece of equipment, and not be able to fish for those fish anymore, because no one's going to help you out. It's up to you to do that. So be sure that you do that. The way it was this year is right when we got there, it was beautiful weather. There wasn't too much wind. The very first day was gorgeous. I had an amazing drone shot of this giant bait ball where there was humpback whales chasing the bait ball with mahi, with pelicans, and I got the drone footage of a freaking whale smashing into the bait ball and eating it on top of the water. It was amazing. It was insane. And that was basically how we started our trip. And then also Tremor caught a bonito first cast when we got to the first bait ball. So the way that it works in Mag Bay is you look for bait balls. You're not doing teasing and you're not doing bait. You're not teasing fish in and you're not throwing bait to bring fish to you. Although you can do that if you want. That is something that the captains or the lodge will do. If you don't want that, you can be explicit to the lodge and say, hey, I don't want to catch them teasing or with bait. That's what Tremor asked for. I don't care. I'm not judging that. On any, if anybody does it that way, they do it like that a lot in on the East Cape, which is totally fine. I have no issues against that. If you want to catch fish and simplify it for yourself to bring in those fish, get them to the boat, that's totally acceptable in my opinion. It's just not the way that we did it the times that I've been down there. Well, for the roosters, we tease them in, but in the open water fishing, you're finding bait balls, you're looking for birds, you see fish crushing the bait, and you start casting. And Tremor got a fish, first cast, bonito, and then right after, second cast, caught a mahi-mahi. And so, I mean, it was on, and what we had heard is that there was mahi-mahi everywhere. That's what the consensus was, and the marlin just started showing up in a little bit during that week. So this is around Thanksgiving. Well, to put it quickly, or to say it quickly, when we left, there were marlin starting to show up. And then basically this last week, which I'm recording this about a week and a half after the trip, They're everywhere. So you never know when you're going to run into all of the mahi-mahi and also the marlin. Now, obviously, when mahi-mahi are around a bait ball, it's scaring the, not scaring, but it's deterring the striped marlin to come in and eat on that bait ball because there's just so many mahi-mahi, they can't compete with them. Although we did run into a lot of schools where there were mahi-mahi and also marlin, but most of the time when you ran into the marlin, there was no mahi-mahi around. And so right away, our first bait ball, we're crushing and we're hitting some mahi-mahi, and it was sick. And I got that drone shot, and I was just like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. Beautiful day. The weather was gorgeous. There was hardly any wind. And yeah, Tremor really wanted me to catch a marlin, man. Thanks, Trem Dog, my homie. It was amazing. I had some marlin shots on the first day. I just was really rusty. You need to have a double haul down, and I have a double haul, but it's a double haul with a 12 weight rod, a giant fly, and 500 grain Leviathan. Like, it's just a big rod. It's not a simple setup to cast. It does take a little bit of effort. Obviously, the more money you spend on a rod for a lighter rod, the easier it is to get those double hauls out. So it was just kind of more or less getting into the groove the first day. I was catching mahi-mahi right off the bat, but once we started pursuing marlin, it would be like either the line would tangle up on my feet or would snag around the boat, or I would have too much line out on the boat. And it was like trying to get into a rhythm of trying to get yourself prepared for when you hit that bait ball. And you get to that bait ball and then you see bills coming out of the water. That's marlin. You need to be calm and chill and not go crazy. Because that shot that you're going to have at that fish, you want that first shot to be good. You need a lot of line out. You need a nice, good, smash it out to where you think those fish are headed, and then start stripping it fast. It's a very, very difficult technique, but it's super, super awesome. I had some followers the first day, and then I had an eat on the first day. And when I was stripping it in, I just couldn't pick up the line fast enough when that striped marlin was coming at it. I saw him eat the fly. I felt him eat the fly. I felt him at the end of my line. I just couldn't get that strip set on him. And it's difficult. It's very, very challenging fishing. It's super fun. I cannot wait to go back. And I think it's a great challenge for anyone that really wants to try to put themselves in a situation where it comes down to a lot of skill. You know, there is a lot of luck involved, of course, as well, because that fish, if that fish would have turned around and taken off the other direction, I would have stabbed him right in the side of the mouth, but he just kept coming at me and was kind of turning. So luck does have a lot to do with it, but definitely something you need to prepare yourself for. And this brings me to the point of when you go to Mag Bay, do it more than 3 days. If you could do 4 to 5 days down there, do it for sure, because by that fourth day, fifth day, you're going to be on point. You're going to get all of your, you know, you're going to get all the rust off, and you're going to be able to know what you need to do, the mechanics needed to make that happen and make that strip set and that cast happen so that you can get that marlin. Awesome. Really, really cool. So yeah, the first day was great. We got a lot of shots. I was just looking at my footage from the first day, and I have a lot of footage to go through. I'm going to hopefully make a video, and right away you just see bills all in front of the boat. We're smashing towards these bait balls, trying to get a good shot at the marlin. So we had opportunities the first day, but I mean, it was mahi-mahi anywhere you want to go. Mahi-mahi are a super fun fish to catch on a fly rod. I think an 11 weight would be perfect. I didn't have an 11 weight, but an 11 weight I think would be the jam down there for the mahi-mahi. The 12 weights do work perfect, but mahi-mahi crush poppers and they crush streamers. So, and when they come at the fly, it's like they're colored up. They turn bright blue, bright yellow, and they smash that thing. And when you hook set into them, they go ape shit. They'll jump and then they peel line and then they go down and then they jump again. So I love mahi-mahi. It's a wonderful tasting fish too, and you can keep up to 8 per day, so you could bring back tons of meat if you'd like. It's a beautiful fish. I think that they're super cool looking. Some people call them dodos, I mean, but they were everywhere. It was amazing. Like, you can actually get to a bait ball and blind cast, and a mahi-mahi might come and eat your fly. That's how crazy it was and how much mahi-mahi there was. Where at one point of the first day, it was like, let's move. Let's go find marlin. So you'd have to get away from those big mahi-mahi balls and bait balls and try to go find the marlin. So, I mean, one of those those bait balls we ran into, I was like, okay, you see like 4 or 5 mahi, and then boom, all of a sudden there's striped marlin around. They're all colored up. They've got their blue stripes going, and then they're gone. And so that first day was kind of like that. We did get some shots at some marlin. Tremor got a really nice shot, which I actually filmed, and it's very, very unfortunate. I screwed up and I deleted all of my footage from my Sony camera when I got home, and I had filmed a full on cast hookup strip. And as he's stripping, that fly launched out at 100 miles an hour towards my head, dodged it and stuff. But I mean, we had a lot of shots the first day, and I'm so bummed I deleted that footage. But in the background, you can see marlin surfacing and eating bait. Oh God, it was so cool. I do have some of those shots on the GoPro though, and I'll be sharing those on the video when I do create it. And that was day one. So it's just like, oh my God, we have 3 more days of this. It was awesome. I just can't even begin to explain how much more epic it became every day, even though like every day was different. Then the next day we had overcast, right? And then the next day it was windy, and then the last day was perfect. So it changes. So prepare yourself for that as well. When we're cruising out, we're wearing jackets, buffs, you know, hoodies. And then you get out there, and then the sun pops open, and it's, whoa, it's just gorgeous, beautiful blue waters, and you're watching whales, sea lions, marlin, mahi, pelicans, egrets. Or wait, is that what they're called? Egrets? Those big-ass birds that fly in the air. Other fishermen, scuba divers, snorkelers, other fly fishing boats, big giant yachts. But it is the open ocean, so you can spread out fairly quickly. One minute you look and there's life everywhere, then the next minute you look around and you're not surrounded by a boat. So super cool. I love mahi. I love the marlin, and just to see those two fish in their, you know, their own waters doing their thing, you're kind of just watching in awe. How bad they're destroying these sardines and mackerel balls. It's ridiculous. These balls get huge too. And some of these balls, what will happen is, or these bait balls, they're not stationary. They're moving very quickly, and those are hard to get. That's how I caught my marlin. Oh, I won't get to that yet, but that's how I caught mine. But some of the years, but what happens is those bait balls, they will get surrounded so that it creates a stationary ball. That ball is not going to move, and those fish are just plucking off, and those poor fish, bait fish, are just getting crushed. And that's like you want that scenario with a pile of marlin, but that didn't happen to us this year. It happened to Tremor the last time he had been out, where you run up to one of these piles that's stationary and it's actually just surrounded by marlin. So we didn't have that, but it's just amazing just to watch a big giant pile of bait getting crushed, and you just see mahi everywhere. I actually jumped out of the boat and into the bait ball with the GoPro, not into it, but near it, very, very close. And I mean, I had sea lions coming up and looking at the camera, and Dorado almost running into me. It was so freaking cool. Just a very, very special experience. And so when we would run into those, it'd be mahi, and then we'd have to escape from those and try to go find other bait balls that are getting chased on and see if there were marlin on those. And when there were, that's when we would have our chances and our shots. I'm sorry if I can't remember. I think Tremor ended up with 3 at the end of the trip, or 4, and I got 1. Yep, I got 1 on the last day. But I will talk about that in a moment. So again, I just always want to say thank you for listening to these podcasts. As you can tell, I'm very excited about sharing my fishing stories with you, and hopefully it motivates you to want to get out there and go fishing with your homies. And hopefully this podcast makes you interested in trying to come on the hosted trip with me next year or sometime. I'm going to make it happen. It's going to be there. So, the other part, like I was sort of mentioning about the trip down there, is that you get to see the wildlife, right? And I just bought this new camera and this new lens last year, and I have like drones and GoPros and stuff, and like filming wildlife to me, getting a shot of a fish in its natural environment, or a fish jumping, or, you know, a bird in the air, or or marlin smashing bait on top, or the back of a whale breaching, or a dolphin getting air. That to me is like catching a fish. So when I'm out there and we're trying to fish, I'm like, dude, I want to get some footage. And I did. I actually did get a lot of shots that I was really proud of. A lot of photography shots. I got so many video shots that I was really stoked on that are no longer on this planet, unfortunately. But it was great practice. So that if you do go down there and you're into photography or cinematography, do bring your stuff. If you do bring your drone, be prepared for a taxation when you do come into the customs. Luckily, they looked at me and they were like, fool, this fool's a fool, so we're not going to charge him. And she goes, hey, fool, she goes, just so you know, this drone right here, she's like, this is taxable next time you come up in here. So we're going to let it slide this time, fool. But just so you know. So I was like, thanks, homie. And she was cool with that. So that's why I didn't have to pay my drone tax fee. Thank God. So I did get some beautiful shots. I cannot wait to share these with you on a video that I'll make for the Taco Tube channel. Some amazing shots. My drone navigation these days is horrible. I don't know what it is. I just can't fly a drone like I used to. Something's wrong with my brain. But I did get some amazing shots. So, you know, the filming and the photography and the videography, and bring a snorkel mask or something and ask one of those captains to let you jump out near one of those bait balls and check it out. It's insane. You can feel the energy in the water when you're next to these bait balls and around these fish. And when I jumped into a bait ball with at the end of the trip, a freaking whale swam under me. Yeah. Like a giant whale was under me, and they were like, Mario, whales right there. And just thinking about it right now, I'm getting chills. It was such a cool experience. And man, I'm so glad I wasn't annihilated or inebriated or wasted during that experience. You know, it's cool perspective. And just to know that I was able to enjoy that without being completely hammered was damn, it was really special, and I'm super stoked I got to do that. So yeah, definitely enjoy it. Try to get into the water. It is scary. I'll just straight up tell you, you know, it's scary as hell when you see all those animals around going apeshit and you want to jump in the water. I definitely suggest it though, and think that that's something that you can think about when you want to go to Mag Bay and enjoy, is, you know, try to get your marlin first, try to get your Dorado first, and then do that, or do that first and make that the motivation to get your marlin or Dorado. You know, I have to admit though, like watching Magdalena Bay videos and any fly fishing videos or fishing videos in general, it's like I give these guys, like my homie RC Cone, We Are Tributary, shout out to the dude, the talent of capturing fishing and filming fishing and making it look the way that these people do in wildlife and stuff, like it is a talent. It is so damn hard, and you need to be almost 100 committed to the fishing or 100 committed to the getting pictures. And like, I'm a huge media guy. I'm sure anybody who's listening now has found Taco Flycoat through my Instagram or social media or YouTube. That's what I do. I love doing that, not just because I'm trying to promote my business, but because I enjoy that. And when I was out there, I was just like, damn, this is fucking hard. Like, this is really hard to do. This is not an easy task to grab a shot of that very first explosion from the marlin when he eats, because your fisherman has got to hook the fish first, and you're sitting there with the camera holding it, waiting, being like, all right, what do I want to do? Do I want to film this? Do I want to shoot it? And I mean, I wasn't like that because I was fishing too, but it's challenging. It's very, very hard. So any wildlife films you watch where you see slow-mos and close-ups and stuff like that, it's just, man, it's I admire it. It's very admirable, and I admire it much. God, I don't know. See, this is the challenge that I have when I don't have a beer, when I try to record a podcast, is saying certain words. When I have a beer, it just flows right on out. It's really weird. So yeah, I just wanted to share that because that perspective to me is like, I'm surrounded by wildlife. I'm in a situation where there's actually a lot of ways I can easily get a shot right now of tremor hooked up or a fish jumping, and I failed at it miserably. In my eyes, I'm always trying to aim for the stars though. You know, that's what my fiance says. But it's challenging. I love it. And so, this kind of like brings me towards the last day, and what a special day. I mean, the weather was perfect. There were marlin everywhere. There was at one point we were driving the boat, And like, we're trying to get out to the fishing grounds, and I'm like sitting there and I'm puffing on my weed pen, which is illegal down there, so don't do that. But and I see a fin, and I'm like, what the hell? And I look to the right, I'm like, did you see? In my head, I'm like, is that a fin? And by the way, you see marlin jumping around everywhere.
Now, those ones,
those ones are not eating. They're jumping, so they're in the area, more or less probably flexing on each other or looking for bait balls or something. So they're all around you. But at this moment, I saw a fin. And then I look to the left, and I see another fin. And I look to the right, and there's another fin. And quickly realized we were surrounded by I don't even know how many marlin. I mean, it was insane. Like, if you looked in the ocean, you would see fins everywhere. And I was like, there's, and then I looked up and Danny goes, there are marlin all around us. Danny is one of the captains and first mates that joined us every day. Very good at speaking English, and was just like, oh, that's another thing. You need to brush up on your Spanish down there if you don't get an English speaking first mate, or hire a guide like my homie, Jeff Fesco, to the Gills on Instagram. He is available for hire for guiding down there. So I'll put his contact in the show notes. But Danny, the first mate, goes, yeah, there are marlin all around us. And sure enough, right in front of us, boom, a bait ball starts going off. And when that bait ball went off, this is the last day, right? And it just starts going apeshit. And there are marlin crushing bait everywhere around us. It was so cool, and it just like that, as quick as it comes, is as quick as it goes. So you need to be on point. I didn't have my line out, neither did Tremor have his line out, but right away Tremor was able to hook one up on the last day. He hooked up two. I still hadn't gotten one. That last day I went 1 for 6, but I got that one. Now, what did I do wrong? Well, every time that I would get a grab, it would be like something would happen. Either I'd drop the line, or it would be caught on something in the boat, or I like didn't do a good strip set. Oh, two of the first fish, the tip of my hook was broken off from probably hitting the boat like a back cast. And so I didn't even have a sharp hook for the first two fish. So, man, it was just like hours of just chasing balls, casting towards marlin, chasing balls, casting towards marlin. And you know what? What I'm super stoked on is that I kept a positive attitude the whole time. Attitude is important when you do these trips. It is so important. Do not let it beat your ass. Appreciate the fact that you're even there, B, seeing marlin crushing bait, and D, wait, and just, you know, just being there and attitude. We talked about that a lot because Trem Dog, my homie, used to have a sour attitude. He's done so well. I'm so proud of him. He's come such a long way. He's like a little brother to me. So, you know, like just seeing, like we talked about it, like a lot of it is about attitude as well. And you have to have a good attitude. Even though I'm like 0 for 5, at this moment, I'm still saying, woo, I'm still just like trying to get it, trying to stay stoked, thinking about my skateboarding. You know, like when I would start to get pissed off at skating, not landing a trick, I wouldn't land it. And it would be like, what am I doing here? I'd try to break my board or something, you know, and it's just frustration, which is totally natural. But just having a positive attitude, like I'm going to do the best I can. And, you know, yeah, that hook was broken, and yeah, I dropped the line, and yeah, I should have stripped harder. But you know what? The next time I'm going to do it, because there's going to be a next time. And that was the part about the trip that was very apparent, is that if you kept a positive attitude, no matter what would happen, you hook up another mahi-mahi fuck in the pile of striped marlin. Well, you could look at it that way, or you could be like, well, fight's on. I'm going to catch another fish. And so I think attitude is important as far as, you know, creating success in this type of situation. And I want to be around people who have a good attitude. I've been around a lot of fishermen in my life, and fishermen sometimes can take it a little too damn seriously. And I've seen that, and I've been on the boat when that's happened, and it's not enjoyable for me at all. It takes the fun out of the whole thing, and someone's sour and pissed off, and it's just like, I don't know. It can make it tough to be on the boat with them, and you know, that's you get it. People have their moments. I had my moment a couple times, but I'm just saying, you know, if you go down there and this happens to you and you go 0 for 5 one day, don't let it eat you up, man. It's actually It's going to happen. Just do a nice bomb cast and make yourself feel better about yourself. That's what I would do. I'd strip out a shit ton of line and I would just dump a 70, 80 footer and just be like, all right, I'm cool still. Like, it would make myself feel better. But we called our boat the drama boat. There was always something going on. You know, boats, bust out another thousand if you know. If you own a boat, there's always going to be issues with boats. And we always had some drama on the boat, but we kept the positive attitude and we turned that into like a little mantra of eat it, eat it, eat it. So we would just say, eat it, eat it, eat it. That was like our thing that would stoke us out. Eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it. And like, that's what we would say to each other. And when there were fish around and when we were casting fish, casting towards fish, you'd be, eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it. And I'm sure you're going to hear it on the video, but that was like our mantra to generate stoke and get excited on the drama boat. So I'm appreciative of the drama boat and how it wasn't easy, you know. So my last fish, I got one at the end, and you know, I was at the back of the boat, Tremor was at the front, and I finally got it. You know, I had fish coming and chasing. I had five good grabs, and finally this one, I was doing the you know, where you strip with both hands, you put the rod in your opposite armpit. So if you cast right-handed, you put your rod in your left armpit and then use both hands to strip the line in as fast as you can. And when you get grabbed, you keep stripping, and you strip hard, and you strip until you feel that fucking line get real tight, and you hold it, and then you strip more. And I did it like that, and it was like, thinking about it right now, it's making me so stoked because it all came together and I got it on film on GoPro, and I'm going to post that to announce this podcast. And I got that thing and I started grabbing onto that rod, and that rod should have broke, man. It was like hitting onto the side of the freaking big ass boat, and then I grabbed like up where the logo's at, and then sure enough, first thing that fish does is rise and come up and then put its head in the air, and you just got to hold on. And there's a really cool technique when you're fighting marlin. Number one, you got to strip set, get it in them, dig it in real hard, make sure you get that hook in there, and pray it's in the good side of their mouth, right? I had mine hooked right in the corner of the mouth, which was great. And then they go apeshit. They fucking take off, and you need to be ready for that. Don't be stepping on the line. Hopefully it's not wrapped around your leg. I actually like to be barefoot so that I could feel the line on the boat. That's how I did it in Belize. And you can feel the line that you have all around you because, you know, you're dumping 80 feet, then you're dumping 40 feet. And then you got 40 feet of line on the deck, and you don't want to be standing on that when that fish takes off, because it could take your toe off, your leg off, or you could snap the fish off. They go apeshit and they take off and they'll jump right away and start peeling a bunch of line. Now, there's obviously nothing you can do when that happens, but you have a 12 weight rod. You've got, you know, 80 pound fluorocarbon at the end of that. You can try to stop them a little bit. Do not obviously put your hand somewhere where you can get hammered by that reel handle, because it will pop your knuckle and it'll split that thing open real quick where you might need stitches or something out on the boat. So you got to be careful for that, but you do want to put some pressure and you want to stop that fish. And Tremor gave me some really good advice. Don't let that thing peel out all your line. Because, you know, and I have that drag pretty damn tight. That Reddington Grande took that battle really good. And you want to stop that fish. You don't want him to peel, because you got to pick up all that line. So you actually want to put some pressure on him. Obviously, if you've got a good fly, you've got good knots, you got a good, you know, line, everything, it should come together. And that's what you do. You got to fight them with the fly rod really well, where you don't have that, you know, that big ass reel that people use when they're sitting in a chair and they have that, they got the reel and they've got the belt and everything. You don't have that with the fly rod. So you've got this little wand trying to bring in this big ass fish. And one of the techniques is to try to stop that fish and point that rod at that fish, you know, and try to get that line taut and tight on that fish. And that worked for us. And I watched Tremor do it a few times before I got to fight my fish, but there are moments there where you can get him to stop. It's kind of surprising, actually. And then when you battle that fish, you don't want to wear yourself out. I think my battle must have been 30 to 40 minutes is my guess. You don't want to wear yourself out, although I was done. I have tendonitis in my right elbow. I was already on my fourth day of fishing with the 12 weight, and I'm grateful I wasn't drinking because my body was in good shape. I was hydrating a bunch. I was drinking a ton of water. And so you physically need to be ready for this battle. Like, it's not it's not easy. It's going to beat your, I'm a strong person. You know, I'm actually stronger than most guys my height. Just kidding. I row, you know, I row a boat quite frequently, and I mean, I was getting wrecked. It beats your ass, and you need to be ready for it. Maybe you need to be drunk for it. I didn't want to be drunk for it, but cuz then you could be looser, you know what I mean? But God, it beats your ass, and you need to, it's a proper fight. Like you're giving effort and it's taking your effort, and you need to not try to force that thing in. And there is a technique where when it's ready to give you some line, you need to step backwards, reel forward. As you're stepping forward, step backwards, reel forward, and like that's the move. Is you want to be able to sort of bring that fish in, and then or you're kind of like towing it in by walking backwards on the boat and reeling forward, and they're still gonna jump in the fight, and they're still gonna jump when they get close to the boat. So yeah, the battle was epic. My reel handle broke sometime during the transportation of the rods from boat to boat. I know it was my fault. It was not the gear's fault. I was just smashing these rods into everything, and that reel handle snapped off. So I had to improv a reel handle from an Echo reel that I had bought for backup. It was like fighting. It was gnarly. I'm looking at my thumb right now because I was like tearing my thumb up, and I was using a bent reel handle, and I'm just glad it all came together. And sure enough, we leadered that marlin. Leadering it is when the first or the deckhand couldn't grab the leader. Therefore, that means you had landed the fish. Not every striped marlin is going to make it in the boat for your hero shot. If you're not going to keep the fish, you are allowed to keep one striped marlin legally. And you don't want to bring them in the boat. You just get them next to the boat, get that fly out, cut that fly line off or whatever, and let it swim away. They leadered my fish. It was like, boom, I caught it. I even told the camera when I first hooked it up, I don't even care if this thing snaps off. I hooked into one and that's all I cared. I hooked into one and it jumped. And that's all I cared about. That's all that mattered to me. Getting it to the boat was, I didn't care if it happened, but it was really rad that I was able to get it to the boat. He leadered it. And when he went to go try to grab the bill, the line snapped out and the fish had the hook in the side of the mouth. But I'm just glad that that line didn't snap, you know, before we were able to get that nice shot of the fish next to the boat. Tremor grabbed the GoPro and that fish snapped off and it swam away all nice and slow. And we got a rad shot of it going away. I didn't get to touch the bill, but that's fine. I've touched a striped marlin bill before and it's really rad. They're like, it's like sandpaper. And I landed my striped marlin on the fly with no teasers and no bait. And that's like, man, to me, it's just a very special experience. Like I said, I can't thank Tremor enough for that experience. I can't thank Reddington enough for supplying the gear for me to enjoy that place. You know, it's not a cheap trip, that's for sure. It's not cheap to get the gear, but it's something to look forward to in your fly fishing journey if you want to do it. I definitely suggest it. It's nuts, and I got to swim with the whale. So it's like, what kind of shit is this? What kind of life am I having, man? It's amazing, and it's just a great way to get back into the steelhead fishing. I have to go to the cold and row people down the river, smell their waiter farts and stuff. So it was just an awesome Thanksgiving trip, and I'm super grateful for Mag Bay Lodge for having such a great place for us to enjoy. The people of San Carlos, Danny, thank you. He's just an awesome guy. Aldo, the captain, El Capitan, we were playing some Los Tigres del Norte, some Tucanes. We were playing all kinds of Mexican music on the boat, and they were stoked. And Pecas, and I didn't get to fish with Pecas. Pecas is with another group down there. And man, just an amazing experience, and I can't believe I did it. It was awesome. And to share it with you on this podcast and to make a video later this winter, I'm really stoked. So I really want to get down there. So I left with a beat up toe. I stubbed my toe super bad on the last day. I'm still thinking about how bad that damn thing hurt, because we were just, I was running around that boat. I'm going to try to make a cool montage of me just smashing around the boat, trying to freaking cast, getting snagged up on things, kicking things. Like, it's madness. It's super cool. It's almost as gnarly as permit fishing, I got to admit. Do I like it more than permit fishing? Hell yes. Hell yes, I do. It's way funner than permit fishing. Although I do want to catch a permit, obviously, but I just felt like this challenge and this reward was much greater. And then also the open ocean and seeing all of that stuff was just amazing. So yeah, I'm going to say that this is better than permit fishing. So don't talk shit about it when I see you, or do talk shit about it face to face. But yeah, this is getting a marlin on the fly is, oh man, checking that off the list. I think I might get a tattoo dedicated towards that, for that trip, for that moment, like maybe like this little broken toe with a fly snagged through it with the bill coming out or something like that. I left beat up too, man. 4 days of fishing, throwing that 12 weight. You get wrecked. So take care of yourself when you're down there. I had a swollen ass arm and I was super happy. And driving back home from Reno to my house, in Quincy after the trip, I had a huge smile on my face, and what a special experience. I'm super stoked to be able to share the photographs with you guys, and just so grateful that place exists. And you know what? One day you'll be there, and hopefully I'm there with you. If not, you're with another group, come by, say what's up, go eat at Tiburon, hit up Jeff Fesco, to the Gills on Instagram, say what's up to him, holler at Toby from Mac Bay Lodge. Yeah, be ready to get your ass kicked when you're out there. Bring some Advil. It helps. And, some muscle rubs. Oh yeah. Salon paws. Those are what I use. Those salon paws with an ACE bandage was what saved me on that trip from my tendonitis. So, thanks for listening. I really hope you enjoyed this episode about Mac Bay on the Anchor Up and Chill podcast. I appreciate you, coming back again and again, and share this with your friends. If you guys want to get on a trip, hopefully that this episode stoked you out enough. If anything, catching just a mahi-mahi on the fly is dope as hell. So even if you don't get your marlin and you never caught a dodo on a fly, oh God, it's worth the trip even with that. And so is the food. Eating chocolatas, they're just these giant clams if you like that. Eating a tiburon, fresh seafood. Bring baby wipes though, for sure. Baby wipes are a must when you travel out of the country. It'll help you. So have a wonderful day, and thanks for listening. Cheers. Click subscribe, send a link, call your friends. Holla at your boy. Mosca de taco, nadie más se campa.